You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
I'm Darwin Zook. Thanks for tuning in to MLB Extras podcast, Diamondbacks edition. Pleased to be joined by D-backs reporter Steve Gilbert. Steve, as always, we appreciate the time, my friend. Let's get right into it. Face of the franchise, as we've been talking about, Paul Goldschmidt, as expected, had his 1 year, $14.5 million option picked up. But now more decisions ahead. That was just kind of the first step, right, Steve, in terms of deciding how they're going to proceed with Goldschmidt in terms of a long-term deal or maybe even exploring a potential trade.
Yeah, Darwin, I like to look at it like that was the last easy decision that the franchise is probably going to have with Paul Goldschmidt. I mean, once they signed him to that extension back in 2013, they haven't had to think much about him. You know, he's gone out there and he's produced and there hasn't been much to deal with. Obviously, picking up his extension for his option for next year at 14 and a half was a no-brainer. Now comes the tough part. Now they have to kind of decide this offseason what path they want to take with him. And I looked at it. I think there's three paths they could take. They could, as you mentioned, they could sign him to an extension. They could, you know, just say, hey, let's get this worked out, something long term, and keep him in a Diamondbacks uniform. They could trade him, which again I think is a tough one for a fan base and a tough one for an ownership group to do. And the third one is just kind of let it play out. And if they're competitive again at the start of next year, great. They have him for that last year and, you know, they'll make him a qualifying offer and take draft picks if he doesn't re-sign with them. Or they could always trade him just before the trade deadline if there's a team that's looking for a little bit of help. So for me, they have three choices when it comes to Goldschmidt. Trade him, extend him, or let this thing play out until next season.
And what they do decide, that all of a sudden sets into motion a lot of other potential options, obviously, in terms of the roster being built and a couple guys that Diamondbacks would like to have back, but maybe don't have the money to pay would be AJ Pollock and Patrick Corbin. What's the status on those guys and how does that potentially connect to a decision on Goldschmidt as well?
Yeah, that's a great question too. It just, you know, Corbin is so likely to get a big time, long term, big money contract on the market, just given the success that he's had and the way the pitching market looks right now, that I can't see them keeping him, being able to afford to keep him. Pollock, on the other hand, maybe it depends on how that market shakes out for him. They may feel like they have a little bit more of a chance of bringing him back in the, you know, whether it's short term or long term. But again, another guy that they can't count on having next year. So that does set in motion these other dominoes. And I think one of the things that they've been doing the last few weeks is kind of getting a feel for what these players are worth in terms of trades. You know, maybe they felt teams out on Goldschmidt. Maybe they felt teams out on, you know, a David Peralta or a Nick Ahmed, or as they said, you know, anybody on that roster. And then they can kind of sit back and say, okay, well, we know we can get X, Y, and Z for these guys. Is it worth, do we have what it takes to stay competitive next year, or do we need to make some deals, get younger and maybe take a little bit of a step back next year to go forward in the future?
Talking with Diamondbacks reporter Steve Gilbert. Steve, the Diamondbacks did decide on a new hitting coach, Darnell Coles, replacing Dave Magadan. He spent the last four seasons, Coles did, as the Brewers hitting coach. They of course came within just a game of the World Series. What does Coles bring to the table here for Arizona?
Well, if you talk to guys with the Brewers, they say, you know, to at least a few people that I've talked to, they all say the same thing. He's a hard worker, a good communicator, a really good person. So the Diamondbacks are kind of looking for a little bit of a new voice. You know, Dave Magadan did a nice job for them. I think that the biggest key for Darnell Coles is going to be, like it is, I think, for all hitting coaches these days, is kind of navigating the balance between analytics and you know, teaching And the Diamondbacks do have not just an assistant hitting coach, but a hitting advisor as well. So I think keeping everybody on the same page now, that's become a big part of a hitting coach's job as well. And Torrey Lovello told us on a conference call that while things went pretty well last year, he thinks they could be even better as far as the communication and everybody being on the same page here as they go forward.
Yeah, that's not easy to do sometimes when there's players have different strengths and weaknesses at the plate, but also merging that with an overall team philosophy of what you're doing hitting wise as well. So definitely a challenge for Darnell Coles. A couple other things I want to touch on with you, Steve. Gold Glove Awards being announced on Sunday. John Jay nominated along with Zach Greinke and shortstop Nick Ahmed. Odds those guys perhaps take home some hardware?
You know, I think that Nick Ahmed, it's hard to think there's better. You know, I know Brandon Crawford's kind of the reigning guy at shortstop, but Nick Ahmed had such an outstanding year. It's going to be really interesting to see how the voting goes with that. Also, you know, Zach Greinke every year seems to be, you know, either winning the Gold Glove or one of the finalists. So he's got a pretty good shot. And John Jay, you know, did a nice job for them in the outfield. It'd be interesting also to see how that shakes out for him. But if I had to go, if I had to pick, I think Greinke wins it. And I think Ahmed probably does. How that? I'll hedge on Ahmed for that one, but I'll say that Greinke wins again at this pitcher.
All right, sounds good. I won't run over and put my life savings on the bet though right now. I'll hold off on that.
That's very smart.
Pitcher Matt. Well, not that I don't trust.
No, it's always pitcher Matt Andrews. People make a lot of money not trusting me, so that's a good thing. Don't put your money on me.
All right, you got it. Pitcher Matt Andrews heading to Japan, part of a 7-game exhibition against Japanese All-Stars there. And that's November 9th to the 15th, if I'm getting that correct. And how did that come about for Andrews?
Well, I think for him, he's a guy that they acquired from the Rays before the trade deadline. He had done some of the starting in the past in his career, and he was also some of the Rays used in that kind of opener thing that they had, where you know maybe pitch an inning or two, and so the Diamondbacks kind of view him as a candidate to start next year, or at least they did towards the end of last season. So I think they'd like to see him get some more innings under his belt. I think they'd like to see him get stretched out this spring and kind of prepare himself coming into spring training as a guy who's going to compete for a spot in their rotation. And if that doesn't work out, then maybe they move him back to the bullpen. But they do see him as a guy who could potentially start for them.
And last question for you, Steve, just wrapping up, summarizing how the Arizona Fall League's going for the D-backs, development of some of their younger players like Dalton Varsho hitting .389. Tell us a little bit about him and any other guys that have stood out there in the Arizona Fall League.
Well, they've had a lot of guys having some good success in the Fall League. And you mentioned Varsho. He was a guy they liked when they got him out of UWM, I believe it was. He can run a little bit. He can run better than your average catcher. He's actually the got a little bit of a big league pedigree too, and he's also at Gary Varsho, the former outfielder with the Cubs among other teams, and he's named after Darren Dalton, who was Gary Varsho's teammate at one point. So That's kind of where that name comes from. It's kind of an interesting backstory there, but they really like his bat. He's done a nice job behind the plate. And he can run a little bit, so he's a guy that they definitely consider one of their top prospects. Jazz Chisholm, shortstop, not getting quite as much playing time during the fall, but he's another guy. He was MLB Pipeline's player of the year for the Diamondbacks in their organization, and he's done a nice job. And another young guy that they're excited about, as is, you know, Drew Ellis, a third baseman who they have playing in the fall league. So they feel like a lot of their guys are a little maybe 2 years away from the big leagues, not quite ready just yet. But they're excited about some of these guys.
Interesting time for the Diamondbacks, interesting off season. A lot of directions a team could go in, especially with this Paul Goldschmidt situation, if they try and ink him to a long-term deal or potentially trade him. So I'm sure Steve will be talking with you quite a bit during the off season. We appreciate the time as always, my friend.
Looking forward to it. Thanks again.
Absolutely. Steve Gilbert joining us on MLB Extras.